All right, I invite your attention once again this evening to the book of 2 Peter. We're going to be talking about the disappointment of false teachers tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. And I think in the bulletin I put that we would cover the remainder of this chapter, but that was a little bit aggressive on my part. We're only going to do 17 and 18 tonight. And so, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And he's, again, the subject is false teachers. So as he opens verse 17, he's talking about false teachers. And he says, "These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error." Let's stop there. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace as a people in need. Lord, we need your word. We need understanding of your word. Please guide us, Lord, as we look at these two verses tonight. Open our eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Speak to us, Lord. Let this message be your message, not mine. Not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. Lord, and I pray that you will take this message, that you will cause it to sink deep within our hearts, that we may be changed by your word. Lord, we love you. We praise you for your goodness toward us. Most of all, we want to give you glory, honor, and praise for the Savior that you are, the sacrifice that you made on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. And now, because the sacrifice for our sin was made, we have the assurance of heaven. And all those who place their faith and trust in you have that assurance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Problem, of course, that Peter was addressing in his day was false teachers, and a problem that still exists in our day today. And it is indeed a tragedy when someone leads another person away from the truth. It's sad. It's horrible. But I want you to understand, as we look at this message tonight and at the next message, that there is an individual responsibility. You, as an individual, have a responsibility to build your faith upon the truth of the Word of God. Not based on what a preacher says, not based on what a denomination says, not based on what a friend says, but based upon the truth. And so... You know, we can point a finger and we can blame the false teachers of today, but I want you to understand it comes back in your lap. Just like you are responsible for a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You are responsible. You know, each one of us makes an individual commitment, or rather we come to Jesus as individuals for salvation. You have to assume that individual responsibility that what you believe is true. Because your faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. Okay? Peter uses three illustrations to emphasize the emptiness of false belief or false doctrine and false teachers. He said, number one, in verse 17, "These are wells without water." That word "well" translated, with first thought, is a big hole in the ground. And that's actually not what the Greek word means. It means a flowing stream. And it's important because, you know, a well's still a well, even if there's no water in it, right? But you take the water away from a flowing stream, it's not a stream anymore. And that's the point of this. That's the point of what Peter's trying to get across. There is a God-given thirst in all of mankind to know who God is.
There is a search. And you say, well, Brother Doug, what about the atheist? And that's where they place their trust. But they begin their journey somewhere in searching for the reality of God, because all men have it. And all men will seek to satisfy that thirst for God in some way. And all men have a God. It may be self. You know, there are some people that live with the mentality, get all I can. Get all I get and sit on the rest, right? It's all about self. Self is their God. There are some that it's sports. Oh, I love sports, don't you? I could get hooked on sports if, you know. But there's one good thing that this virus did for us. It proved to us that we can live without sports. And we can live very well without sports. Story every time. Whatever your God is, that's what you've got to count on when the chips are down. And I want to tell you, there are times your money won't do you any good. There are times your hobbies, your sports, will not do you any good. There are times when the only answer is God and the intervention of God. That's what Peter's saying. Be careful. Be careful who you're following, because there are a lot of them out there that are wells without water or springs that have no water. In John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman, and he said to that woman, whoever drinks this water, and he was talking about the well there, he said, whoever drinks this water, which was present tense, meaning keeping on drinking, whoever keeps on drinking this water out of this well, Jesus said, will thirst again, and they'll have to drink over and over and over again. But Jesus said, whoever drinks, and it's a different tense, it's called aorist tense, and it means once and for all. Whoever drinks once and for all of the water that I shall give shall never thirst again. And that word water is the same word that Peter uses here, a spring of water. You see, my concern today is there's a lot of religion out there that's not real. There's a lot of people out there that think they go to church and I'm good because I attend a church. And churches, in an endeavor to attract people, have become very worldly. It's all about the show. Listen, I'm not about great music. I'm not against great music. I'm not against, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of on borderline with the flashing lights and the rock concert atmosphere, I'll just tell you. But it's done to attract, to appeal to people, and they, that's the emphasis of their service. And they downplayed the Word of God. As a matter of fact, very seldom does a man get up in front of people, open up the Bible, and preach the Word of God. And that's why I believe that today you have so many self-proclaimed Christians that say, oh, I believe in Jesus, I'm all right. Listen, it takes more than a belief in Jesus. The devils believe and tremble. It takes repentance, a turning away from sin, and a placing your life, committing yourself into the hands of Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. There's a lot of easy believism. Oh, just walk down the aisle. No. It's not about walking down an aisle. It's about repentance and giving your life to Jesus Christ. That's the truth of the Word of God. And that is the only thing that will satisfy your soul. What anything otherwise is just religion. It's a spring without water. It's clouds. He said clouds that are carried by a tempest. And his picture there, it's clouds being driven by a squall line. But the problem with those clouds is there was no rain. When you see clouds coming, I remember on the farm, I'd look up and be driving that tractor, and you could see a long way off the dust piling up, you know, and bellowing around that tractor. And that was before we had cab tractors, you know. We were driving out in the hot, and we would get that deep summertime tan, but the dust would be billowing out there, and you'd just be covered. But every once in a while, you'd look back to the west. That's I'm turning. Wherever west is. There we go. Okay. We'd look back to the west and we'd see a cloud building up. And you know, we'd think, boy, I hope that comes. And it'd grow and it'd grow and it'd grow and it'd grow. And then it'd fizzle out before it got there. And I got no time off work. I had to keep driving that old dusty, nasty tractor. But I remember watching those clouds and thinking, boy, I hope it comes this way. I hope we get a rain. We need a rain. My dad was hoping too, because, you know, that was his crops we were planting. We knew it wouldn't come up if it didn't have any moisture. That's what John says, or I'm sorry, what's what Peter says here. These false teachers, they make promises. They're noise, they're thunder, they're wind, they might even be lightning, but there's nothing there. Listen. There comes a time in everybody's life when you need God. That the only thing that will carry you through some situations in life is God. Otherwise, you will be consumed and overwhelmed. And you may say, Brother Doug, I hadn't been there yet. Hold on, the time's coming. We as individuals have to be very careful of what we accept and what we don't accept. See, the movement is today, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what a church teaches, just as long as you go to a church and listen, no. It does matter. Because, and listen, I don't want to face those troublesome times, but at least I have the assurance of knowing if I face those troublesome times, I'm not going to go through them alone. I know the Savior who gave His life so that I could have eternal life. And guess what? If He gave His life so that I could have eternal life, He's not going to abandon me in the storm. Number one, look at what they really are. Do they have any substance? Is there any meat on that bone? Number two, how do they attract followers? Verse 18 says, "For they speak swelling words of emptiness." They're very talented speakers. You know, some people are just good at it. Have you ever noticed there are some preachers that man, they can hold your attention? There are some preachers that can preach an hour, and you will stay with them for an hour. I'm a 15-minute type guy. You know? And I realize that. I can't get there. You'd be so bored with me if I preached an hour. You'd be thinking, is he ever going to shut up? But beyond preachers, there are people who are just good at speaking. They can entertain you. They can tell you things that will make you feel good in that moment. They can even keep your attention. But the bottom line is, what's in those words that they're speaking? Just because there's a church full of people doesn't mean the preacher's preaching the word. Okay? Be careful. They speak swelling words, but there's nothing there. There is a big difference between communication and manipulation. Okay? Some people are experts at manipulation. How else do they? Number two, they appeal to the appetites of the old nature. Here's where we get in trouble. So many of us, we want to ride the fence, you know? Sit on the fence. And we want Christianity, but we want a part of the world too. And they appeal to the appetites of the old nature. I mean, they allure or bait you. And when we think of verse 7, verse 18 there, it says they allure through the lust of the flesh. And when we think of the lust of the flesh, we think of sexual sin. It's not always sexual sin that gets us. Even though that's sometimes, right? But read Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I'm going to read that to you. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are this. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness." That's the sexual sins. "Idolatry." What is idolatry? Anything you put before God, that's your idol. Okay? So anything before God, anything that they would put before God, that's the idol. Sorcery. Listen,
You don't read that old junk in the newspaper, do you? Nobody reads the newspaper anymore. The horoscopes? Don't do that. Okay? That's satanic. Contentions. You know what contentions are, right? People who stir up trouble. There's some that just live to make trouble. Okay? There are some who just love a good fight. Hatred. They preach hate. Listen, some people are good at preaching hate. And I pray that I identify sin, but I'm never mistaken for having an attitude of hating people. Okay? We don't hate people. We strongly dislike the sin. But we've got to care enough for people to share with them that they're sinners in need of a Savior. A lot of hate groups out there that are available to join. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, or revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If this is the people that you're hanging out with, and listen, we think of false teachers as somebody in a church or somebody in a cult. It can be your friend. I think I put that in a message online here a few weeks ago. If a friend's leading you down one of these paths, he's a false teacher. He's trying to lead you away from God. Do not follow that friend. He does not have your best interest in heart. You want to be able to identify someone that's sincere? A preacher that's sincere will lovingly tell people that they're lost and in need of a Savior. A false teacher will avoid that subject altogether. Once again, I'm going to mention one. And the reason I mention this is because it just bugs me. Joel Osteen. He never preaches about hell. He never preaches about sin. And his exact words when confronted about that was, well, people feel bad enough. We're here to make them feel better. And we don't want to throw any more guilt on them. Listen, you've got to realize your guilt before you can receive the forgiveness. I don't know why this section of 2 Peter has stuck in me so strongly. And it's taken me so long to get through this part of chapter 2. Well, I do. Because I see a lot of people who are misled. I see a lot of young people who are of the mentality that it doesn't matter what you believe. That God loves you just the way you are, no matter what you do. Listen, God loves you, but you understand, young person, you go down the wrong road, you face the consequences of your actions. Do not listen to the false teachers of this world. It says they entice those. Well, let me read the New King James. Verse 18, once again. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, there's nothing there. They allure or entice through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness. Here's where I want you to get the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. New American Standard says they entice those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. Okay? The New American Standard's closer to right. Okay? And it's talking about how they'll prey on new believers. Listen, we've got to look out for those new believers. Baptized a young lady this morning. And I want to see her grow up to love Jesus. Mom and Dad's got her on the right track. But I want to see what a wonderful servant at Emory can be 20 years from now. I want to see what she can do for the kingdom of God. The only way that that's going to happen is if Mom and Dad continue to guard her. And I know you will. But if we as a church continue to teach the truth. If Sunday school teachers continue to dedicate themselves to teaching her the truth every Sunday. That if Awana teachers every Wednesday night continue to take that extra time after a hard day, and I know it's so difficult, but they continue to dedicate themselves to the Awana ministry. If Brother Michael and others continue to work with the teens, I love these kids. And one of the joys of pastoring is to watch a child grow up in the Lord and to see them become a wonderful servant. See, that's what we're here for, is to make disciples. And there are plenty of false teachers out there. There are plenty of college professors that'll tell them, God's not real. Prove to me that there's a God. There are many just people out there in the world that would challenge their faith and say, oh, there's not a God. Prove to me there's a God. Well, I'll tell you, prove to me there's not one. So see, I think I'm living proof. He lives within me. I look around and I see God's hand everywhere. And so as we go through this as a church, we've got to realize that there are those out there who would steal our children and lead them down the wrong path. There are those out there that will steal new converts. I also believe that this would include those, there are a lot of people out there who they're saved. They asked Jesus to save them and they meant it. But they've never pursued their faith. They've never got in there and been faithful in church. They've never got in there and studied the Word of God. Never got into a Sunday school class. Never really got serious about their faith. They don't really know what they believe. They just kind of believe that Jesus died for their sins. And that's about as far as they go. Listen, you need to go deeper than that. You need to know that Jesus died for your sins. But you also need to know that what Jesus has given you through salvation cannot be taken. I look around here tonight and I say this respectfully. There are a lot of us older people here tonight. And I'll tell you, you'll have a problem convincing me that anybody, even Satan himself, can take the salvation that God has given me. I'm pretty rooted, grounded, and dug in there, you know. But there are a lot of people in our church membership who are not. So I want to remind us tonight that, we need to be on guard. We need to protect those who are not rooted and grounded. We need to look around at those who've never really gotten involved and see if we can come along to their side and get them involved in Sunday school. Greg made a comment this morning and I appreciate, he said, if you weren't in Sunday school this week, we look forward to seeing you next week. How many people have you invited to Sunday school? Yeah. That's needed. As a church, we have to not only have a doctrine or a doctrinal statement of what we believe. Listen, we've got to practice that doctrinal statement and help others to understand it. And help others that don't see the importance come by their side and say, come go to Sunday school with me. Come attend Sunday night with me. Hey, I challenge you. This is a Sunday night crowd. Next Sunday when you see somebody that you know not real good about coming on Sunday night, here's what you do. Go up to them and tell them how good it is to see them and ask if you can sit by them in the night service tonight. Can I sit with you? I've been wanting to sit by you. Can I sit with you in the evening service? There goes it. I'm not going to be here tonight. Say, okay, can I sit with you next Sunday night? Somewhere along the way, they'll get it. And listen, I don't say that to cast stones, and I really don't. I say that because people need it. People need more than a 30-minute message on Sunday morning. They need that Bible teaching. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Because there are a lot of false teachers out there that lead people the wrong way. And the bottom line of false teachers is this. They're not doing it for the benefit of the people they target. They're doing it for their own personal benefit. They don't have the benefit of the sinner in mind. They don't have the benefit their only desire is take advantage. And we, as people who are grounded, dug in. There are a lot of people that are as dug in as I am tonight. Listen, let's help others to dig in also and combat those that would hijack the lives of fellow believers. Tonight you may be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you this. Heaven is real and hell is real. And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. Okay? Choice is yours. Remember, I said it's individual. You have an individual responsibility. And tonight, I want you to know that Jesus loved you so much that He gave His life upon Calvary to pay your sin debt. Okay? Because you're a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody else. The only difference between the lost person and the saved person is the saved person has received the free gift of salvation that Jesus bought and paid for upon the cross of Calvary. And tonight, I want to invite you to receive that free gift of salvation. Will you call upon the name of the Lord? We're going to have a verse of invitation. Will you call upon Jesus and ask Him to save you? And during this invitation, I'm going to invite you to come down. If you don't quite understand, I'd love to show you in the Word of God how much God has loved you that He gave His Son so that you could have eternal life. As we have this invitation, would we stand? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we're reminded, Lord, there is a lot of false teachers out there. There's a lot of false doctrine out there. There are a lot of things in our world that would lead us away from You. Help us as Christians, Lord, as Your children, to dig in. Lord, to not be moved by the winds of culture. To not give in to the demands of political correctness. Help us to preach the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, we love You. And I pray that in this invitation, if there is one who does not know You as their personal Savior, that You will convict them of their sin. Help them to realize, Savior, so that they would call upon You tonight before it's everlasting too late. Lord, don't let them put it off. We know we're not guaranteed tomorrow. All we have is right here and right now. Lord, I pray that they'll make that move tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.